Turn back to Psalm 119. I forgot to read these verses, and I want to stay focused on that as a church. We're trying to work through the first 48 verses this year in just memorizing and meditating on the Word of God. And for the month of September, we're looking at verses 33 through 36. Remember, nearly every verse in Psalm 119 has to do with the Word of God. And tremendous, tremendous verses, tremendous prayers given in this chapter to the Lord about the Word's impact upon our lives. And so follow me with verse number 33, and then verse 34, 35, and 36, all right, together. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Of course, the psalmist, I think, very, very transparent in these verses to really reveal what are the inner battles of a heart that runs in conflict sometimes with God's Word, with God's statutes, and so on. And so just encourage you to stay in Psalm 119, begin to meditate on those verses this month. If you haven't been with us throughout the year, certainly it'll enrich your walk with the Lord. It's good to have Dan here. Dan is a friend of mine in the back. Good to have him here tonight. Glad that he could make it to our service tonight. We are in the book of Revelation, and in the previous two chapters, chapter 6 and 7, we've seen a description of the seven-year tribulation period as God's judgment poured out on sinful man. And so in this tribulation period, we understand there are seven seals. And in chapter 6, he unveils, Christ unveils six of them in heaven, or he opens them, and that seal represents a judgment. And so we studied the six seals, and then we got to the seventh seal, and there was a break in the book of Revelation, chapter number 7. And in chapter 7, he is dealing with 144,000 Jews that come to know Jesus Christ and are used as evangelists, and gives us the picture of, in the tribulation period, people coming to Christ from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, or there is a spark of the gospel in the great tribulation. Now, that being said, we also understand that if somebody refuses the gospel, hears it on this side in the age of grace, and refuses the gospel during the tribulation, they'll be sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie. But you understand there are many, many people that have never heard the gospel, that in the tribulation will hear the gospel, and they will be saved. And certainly Revelation chapter 7 unfolds that for us, and it's exciting to read about. We also know in chapter number 7 that those believers that are saved will be sealed on their foreheads. And that's critical before we get to chapter 8, because when we get to chapter 8, the seventh seal is unveiled. And the seventh seal is much worse, because now we move into the seven trumpet judgments that are going to take place on the earth. Chronologically, the trumpet follows the six seals, the seven trumpets do, and begins at the middle of Daniel's 70th week, or about that midway period is when these trumpets begin to blow in heaven and those judgments come forth. I remind you tonight, the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And that could happen at any time. There's nothing in God's calendar that has to happen before Jesus comes back in the clouds. And when Jesus comes back in the clouds, the rapture, after that happens, the Antichrist will be revealed. And that seven-year tribulation begins. So truth of the matter is, we are a breath away, a blink of an eye away from the tribulation period. And 3.5 years, possibly, or whenever the rapture takes place, we're 3.5 years away from the judgments that we're talking about tonight in Revelation chapter number 8. the preparation in heaven. Number of points tonight as we look at the worst of the worst when it comes to God's judgments. We're in Revelation chapter number 8, and there's preparation in heaven for these trumpet judgments. If you read through the first six chapters of Revelation, you'll find that in Revelation there's doxologies that are taking place, such as people that are singing and bringing praise and glory and honor to the Lamb. There's noise, but it's not just noise. It's directed as worship to the Father. But when we get to chapter 8, there is a hush that comes over heaven. The Bible says that it's going to last for the space of a half an hour. The silence is a stark contrast to all the glory that God is getting. The silence marks the transition from grace and worship and praise to judgment. All of heaven is holding its breath in this half an hour at the opening of the seventh seal. So horrendous, incredibly frightening, that no one in heaven dares to breathe a word. Almost like the silence in the courtroom just before a verdict is read, and everybody's on pins and needles to find out what the verdict is going to be after the case has been presented. There's a silence. If you've ever been in a courtroom, there's a silence like that. There's a silence in the executioner's chamber just before he pulls the switch or administers the lethal injection. There's a sobriety about that moment. And so there is a sobriety in heaven when at that point, that midpoint of the tribulation period in heaven, when Jesus Christ opens the seventh seal, which is going to unveil the seven trumpet judgments. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand." In Zechariah chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for He is raised up out of His holy habitation." At this point in the book of Revelation, judgment is about to come upon the earth like never before. The storm is about to break. It's the lull before, or the calm before the storm in heaven. One author I read, it said this: "The steps of God from mercy to judgment are always slow, reluctant, and measured. But nonetheless, He brings judgment." In the Bible, trumpets are used for many things. Trumpets are used to sound alarms. Trumpets are used when Jesus comes back. A trump will sound to announce His coming back in the clouds. We know the trumpets were used for the walls of Jericho to come crashing down. We know the voice of Christ was like the sound of a trumpet in Revelation chapter number 1. And here, the trumpets being sounded means that God's going to interrupt life in a major way for all the inhabitants of the earth. We have the preparation in heaven. Number 2, we have the supplication of the saints. This is a major thrust in this particular chapter. Look at verse number 3, if you will. Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 3. Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer." So there are these seven angels that are set apart. And they're going to be in charge of blowing the trumpet. And every time that a trumpet is blown, a judgment on earth is going to happen. And then there's another angel here in verse number 3. In heaven and stood at the altar, picture of the tabernacle on earth in the Old Testament, but certainly this picture is a reality in heaven as well, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So this angel, having a censer, the Bible says here, and much incense, he's going to take that, he's going to take that incense, and he's going to take the prayers of the saints, and he's going to offer it on the altar before God before the throne. Verse number 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And we're going to get into the seven trumpets. You should know something. That it's very interesting that the Holy Spirit of God connects the prayers of the saints with the judgments of God. Go back to chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6. We're in the fifth seal in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9. When it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long? You ever ask that question? How long? Remember, Revelation was written to believers that were suffering and persecuted, and probably asking similar questions in their hearts and minds. Like, Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? Now we're in the fifth seal at the altar, by the way, in heaven. Under the altar are the martyrs praying and saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Or they're praying as martyrs. Their lives have been taken. Lord, how long? Now we're in chapter 8. Now we're in chapter 8 with an angel, with a censer, with incense, and the prayers of the saints. And God's about ready to put to rest the question, how long? Because He's answering the prayers of the saints. There's no doubt that in the text of Scripture, in Revelation chapter 8, that the prayers of the saints being offered up took place very closely to the time in which God brought judgments down. So I got a question for you tonight. What moves this earth? Politicians?
No.
The wicked? The prayers of the saints. Dear Christian, tonight, be encouraged through Revelation chapter 8. Because the judgments that He's going to be pouring out are judgments in connection with the prayers of the saints. Or watch this. God's not going to allow the wicked to prevail forever. You as a believer need to be reminded of that. I as a believer need to be reminded of that. And you know what it ought to do in our hearts tonight? It ought to help us to see, as God helped the martyrs to see in Revelation chapter 6, hey, a little while. A little while, I'm in charge. A little while. You just keep being faithful. You just stay on the right track of putting me first in your life, honoring me, praising me, living a life of integrity. And I'm telling you, a little while, and it's all going to be resolved by the sovereign God of heaven. That's the truth. We need encouragement in our lives to keep praying. Maybe tonight in your life, you need encouragement to keep praying. I want you to see the scene of heaven tonight in Revelation chapter 8, that it was the prayers of the saints that were offered up to God, and judgment came down on the backside of that. Or God hears the prayers of His people. I think that's a very, very important. What was the result? Thunders. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 8, thunders came after this. And the Bible says voices and lightnings and an earthquake. Thunders denotes the approach of the coming storm of God's judgment. When those thunders came forth after the prayers of the saints were offered up, God was sending an imminent warning. He was sending a tornado warning. The siren was going off, so to speak, in heaven in John's vision. Guess what? I'm coming with judgment. There were voices. Reveals that this is the intelligent direction of God. This is not a purposeless working of natural forces. But God is in charge. There's lightnings. There's an earthquake. All of this to forecast that God is taking over the judgment of the inhabitants of the earth. By the way, the blowing of the trumpets does not introduce symbols or secrets. Some people, they get into these interpretations of passages like this, and you know, we're going to read about what's coming down and the blood and hail mingled, and we're going to read about the 200,000 army, and they're thinking tanks and all of this. You know, you take Revelation literally. So as we read through the trumpet judgments, everything we're going to read about is literal. There's no interpretation that we're trying to find hidden meanings on in this text of Scripture. And so we see the prayers of the saints. We see the preparation in heaven. Thirdly, we see the desolation of the earth. Look at the first trumpet now in verse number 7. The first trumpet judgment deals with the desolation of the earth. The first angel sounded that trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. This first trumpet judgment resulted in a third of the earth being burned up. Judgment falls upon plant life and grass and great trees. Every form of botanical life is affected in this first trumpet judgment. You know, people don't often make the connection between God's wrath against sin and the ravages of nature. But in the first trumpet judgment, God's going to make that connection. Through hail here, through fire mingled with blood. And all of a sudden, a third part of our trees, think about our area. Just our area. And they're burned up. You might hear of a fire out in California. You might hear of fires up in Canada like you did this summer. But trust me, this one's going to hit the news. Because this is a third part of the trees across the world that are gone, that are on fire, that are burnt up, and all grass is burnt up in this first trumpet judgment. That's serious desolation. The forests and the prairies covered with grass, a third part of them are burned up in this judgment. That will shake some people up, my friend. But I want you to understand it is only the beginning of the trumpet judgment. Because we get to trumpet judgment number 2 in verses 8 and 9, and the second angel sounded. And by the way, if God's word is true, every part of it, and it is, it's going to happen exactly like God says. And I want you to understand there's going to be no prayers in that day that's going to soften what he has written is going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to the T of what God says. It's going to happen just like what the Scripture says here. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain. Now, it doesn't say a great mountain, but as it were a great mountain, or this great mass, the Bible is giving us that picture here, burning with fire, is cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. In the second trumpet judgment, a third part of the living creatures die. That's significant. That's a lot. If you think about our seafood today, think about a third part of it being gone. Like they're not pulling that out of the oceans anymore. A third part of our ships, big ships that haul things, ships that defend us, warships, a third of them in this judgment, when that trumpet sounds, the second trumpet in heaven, a third part of the ships, a third part of the creatures, and a third part of the seas are destroyed or filled with blood. Water covers three-fourths of our earth, one-third being the Atlantic Ocean. And so one-third would be like the Atlantic Ocean being filled with blood. One-third of the ships afloat today are in the Atlantic region. They're all gone. This will impact the world. Ecologically, it will impact the world. Economically, it will impact the world. The first trumpet brings the desolation of the earth. The second trumpet brings the desolation of the sea. And now the third trumpet we're going to look at brings the desolation of the rivers or fresh waters that we enjoy. Look at verse 10. And the third angel sounded. And by the way, this isn't over a span of 30 years. This has happened. Man, by the time I'm just getting adjusted to the first trumpet and everything that just changed, here comes the judgment of the second trumpet and the third trumpet and the fourth trumpet and the fifth trumpet. They're being blown one right after another in heaven, and these judgments are being poured out upon the earth. Third judgment. Third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell on the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Stop and think for a moment tonight. Every drink of clean water that you get is mercy in contrast to judgment that's coming. It's mercy. But you understand when that third angel sounds the trumpet, and that great star falls out of heaven, burning as it were a lamp. That's going to make the news. Maybe they're going to call it Halley's Comet. Maybe they're going to think another cult's up starting. But it's going to be much bigger than that, my friend. Because now he's not touching the oceans. He's touching the fresh waters. He's touching the rivers here and the fountain of waters, the Bible says. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. That's going to make things unstable. It's going to make people fearful. How do I know if I got good water or bad water? Where do I go to get good water? Is my water going to be affected? How can we stop this thing? How can we fix this thing? But a third of the waters are touched. And so, trumpet number 4, verses 12 and 13, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. That's going to affect people. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, or in other words, what we know as a normal schedule in the day, in heaven, it's no longer there.
Right.
What people have known ever since they can remember, it's all changed.
Yep.
My water supply is changed. The oceans are changed. Some waters turned to blood. Some waters got wormwood. People are dying around me from drinking the waters. The grass is burnt up. I look at the trees. A third of the trees is gone. The nature, the desolation of the earth in the first four judgments, God's going to reveal Himself, and we haven't gotten to the worst. Trumpet judgment number 4. The last three trumpets are separated from the first four judgments. They are the woe trumpets. Look at verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. These will be the darkest days. These three woes will be the darkest days in human history. It's one thing to have the changes of nature. It's another thing when God unleashes the demons that have been locked up and says, have free access. My friend, those are going to be the darkest days that the world has ever experienced. And they're coming in the woes. It's the wrath of God that will be in full swing at this point. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, another passage that's pointing to this time frame, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Men having heart attacks out of fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The proclamation in heaven is made by this angel saying that these woes, these three trumpet judgments, are yet to come. I want you to know, if you're lost without Christ tonight, that these woes are directed at you. In the tribulation period, the inhabitants of the earth will face these judgments. And please don't think I'm not being nice tonight. Actually, it's an act of love to tell somebody that.
Right.
I'd rather hear the warning ahead of time than be surprised and be facing these things without any escape route. The escape route is repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, we had some people do that as we explained the seal judgments. And you know what? If preaching through the book of Revelation sees people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, where they avoid the tribulation period, then glory be to our God. And if you're not lost tonight, you're a born-again Christian, let me invite you to consider a scenario that Ezekiel forecasted in Ezekiel chapter 3, where he warned us to warn the wicked to repent. That if we do not warn the wicked, that they would pay for their own sin and their blood will he require at our hands. That there ought to be this kind of preaching, this kind of understanding about the future, ought to be something that is a motivator to us with the gospel to get it to people before they face this. The worst of the worst. What's the worst of the worst look like, preacher? Trumpet judgment number 5. We have an invasion from hell. Verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 9 now. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth and to him. Now, we've had other stars fall. We just had another star fall in one of the previous trumpets. But this star is not a meteor, so to speak. This star is a him. Do you see that? And to him, the star that falleth here, or that fell, is to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. A couple of things that I understand here. Number one, I understand the bottomless pit is controlled by God Almighty. This person didn't go get the key. They didn't take action. It was given to him.
Right.
Which means somebody else had it. God. Secondly, somebody that fell from heaven. There's a person I know that fell from heaven. His name is Satan. God has control over all of Satan's minions. And we learn that in Revelation chapter 9. His demons. And notice that to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, or in other words, we had a major smog event at the fifth trumpet. When whoever it is opening the bottomless pit, there is smoke that comes out and darkens the sun, the Bible says. And it'll happen just like God said. It'll happen. The sun and the air were darkened. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them. Do you see that? Again, it wasn't the locusts doing their own thing that are coming out of the bottomless pit, but they are commanded here. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee them. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their head were as it were crowns like gold, and they were faces as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had a breastplate as it were a breastplate of iron, and the sounds of their wings was as the sounds of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king, the Bible says here, over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more. These locusts are not just average locusts. They are demonic locusts. They are coming from the bottomless pit. There's an angel of the bottomless pit, so to speak. And I want you to know it is the place where the demons have been locked up. All this time, they've been locked up till at the fifth trumpet, when it sounds in heaven, God gives the key to what I believe is Satan and says, open it up now. What do we know about this, preacher? Turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The bottomless pit is an abyss. It's bottomless. It's unbounded. It's a pit of immeasurable depth. To house and contain these demonic forces. In Luke chapter 8, when Jesus was dealing with demons, in verse number 30, Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" He was speaking to a demon. And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him, the demons besought him, that he would not command them to go out into the deep, into the abyss, into the bottomless pit. They besought him. They begged Jesus. They knew he had power over them. They knew he could command them to go to that place. And they begged of him, "Please don't send us there." That's the bottomless pit it's talking about. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell," that's that bottomless pit here, "and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Jude 1, 6 talks about the same place. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7 talks about the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit. The beast, that's the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, it talks about God casting Satan into that bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's the place it's talking about. That's the place that God's going to open up at the fifth judgment. Locusts travel in swarms. An approaching swarm is going to make a sound as chariots on horses coming at people. These locusts have stings to inflict torment on men, but not death. Torment that makes them want to die. Like, "Please, please let me die." But they won't be able to die in that day. That's part of the judgment of God. To have men in such misery that, "Please take my life." Please, if I could just commit suicide, I'd do it. But that won't happen in that day. In the day when these demonic locusts with scorpion power that are ferocious and unable to be destroyed are under the king of a destroyer. That's the meaning of the words at the end of that passage there. They're violent. That's what's coming to your neighbor within 3.5 years of the rapture. What I'm preaching tonight. For millions and billions, that will be reality. For those that are saved tonight, thank God. Not going to be any part of this. But brethren, it's why we need young people to surrender to missions and go to the far corners of the earth, because people are living without knowledge of this. And people are going to face this reality of judgment. And when this comes, there's no letting up. There's no escaping what we're dealing with here. They will be unstoppable, these locusts. Venom from scorpions produce a great variety of clinical problems in victims. Certainly our hospitals will probably be overwhelmed. You think COVID was bad? Wait till all of these locusts come out of the bottomless pit. The worst of the worst. Trumpet judgment number 6, verses 13 through 18. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Unless you think those are God's angels are never recorded as being bound in Scripture. So they're not God's angels. These are four demonic angels, or four demons here, that he is loosing in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. And I heard the number of them. Can you imagine John in this vision and hearing about this? And I heard the number of them, 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone, or that fire and smoke and that sulfur, all of that mixed together. And these 200 horsemen, these demonic figures on horses, are going to come on this earth, and they're going to breathe that. And a third of the universe of mankind will be destroyed, will die. And the loosing of the four angels. A third. Back in one of the early seals, a quarter died. If we're looking at 8 million and a quarter, or 8 billion people, and a quarter dies, we're looking at 2 billion that are dead. That leaves 6. We're in the 6th seal, and a third of the remaining population dies. Third of 6 billion is 2 billion. You understand that in a short amount of time, half of the world's population, whatever it will be, will die. God's judgment, in just 2 of God's judgments in the tribulation period. That's stunning. That's shattering. World War I, in my father's book on Revelation, very, very helpful, he recorded some numbers that we are familiar with. In World War I, early 1900s, there was a total, I think it says here, of 8,500,000. That's a lot. That's not half the world's population. We've had plagues that have hit, bubonic plague, and famines that have hit that have caused some millions to die, low millions to die, 5, 10, 18 million. But that's not going to compare, my friend, to what is coming around the corner in the Great Tribulation. Why would God take time to put those details here? Except to warn out of mercy, so that people have an understanding that they don't have to be on that side of God and face His judgment. Notice these 200 million were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, or in other words, they were prepared for that time. God's in charge, my friend. May I remind you tonight, there's no politician in our country that's in charge. There's no world leader that's in charge. There's nobody that has enough money to take sovereign control of this world. I'll tell you, God Almighty is in charge. And over in Revelation chapter 8 and Revelation chapter 9, He points out, I am in control. God's in control. And the sixth trumpet, the inhabitants of the earth get a foretaste of the pit. What the lake of fire is going to be like. So picture this. Somebody's in the Great Tribulation. One of these 200 million breathe fire, smoke, and sulfur, and they die. But they die only to go to a place where fire, smoke, and brimstone are forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So it may be deliverance from that life on earth, but it's only extended in the pain and the torture that they will face forever and ever and ever. My friend, you don't want anybody to go through this. The demons of chapter 9 are not humans. They're superhumans. They're inhuman. They're breathing fire and smoke and brimstone. It's coming out of their mouth. And people are dying by the millions. This is devastating. And yet, look at the response of the world in verse 19 through 21 of Revelation chapter 9 tonight. This is even more earth-shattering. For their powers in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So what is prevalent in the tribulation period? Well, first of all, witchcraft is. Satanism is. They're worshiping devils. And they're not about to turn away from that. Secondly, we understand that they are not repenting of murders. So in the midst of all this, you can understand. All of nature has changed. People are going off the wall. They're falling over the cliff mentally. They're taking people's lives. They're murdering. They're not repenting of it. The Bible says here, goes on and says they're sorceries. It's the word pharmakia. It's talking about our drug culture. Drugs, you think people are turning to drugs today? And they are, by the way. Yeah. In major ways, they're turning to drugs today. But nothing like you're going to see during the Great Tribulation. Right.
Because they're going to want relief from every all distresses and afflictions that they're involved in. And drugs will dominate the society in that day. And they're not going to repent of it. And fornication, all forms of immorality. And after they have been through six seal judgments, and they've been through six trumpet judgments, the worst, the darkest times this earth has ever seen, they will not repent. They will not repent. My friend, it shows the utter sinfulness of the human heart.
Yep, that's right.
And how hard a heart can come against God. God, you pour out your judgments, and I've survived it, and I'm not repenting of any sin in my life. Now, that being said, that's the heart of somebody that's wicked. But did you know your heart is capable of becoming hard too?
Yeah.
Toward God?
Yeah.
As a believer? It is. So is mine. There's a warning to all of us as believers tonight. And that is, God takes note when we don't repent.
Right. Yeah.
Because He took note here. And said, after all this, these people chose not. The ones that survived chose not to repent. We're not at the end of all the judgments. We have the bowl judgments. And then we have another whole set of seven judgments that God mentions and says, don't put in Scripture. I want to encourage you on three fronts tonight. One is prayer. Remember at the beginning, the prayers of the saints, God heard. God hears your prayer. What are you praying about that you're about to give up on? Re-enlist. Re-up your commitment to pray. Because God hears the prayer of the servants. If you're lost tonight, if I was lost and I heard this message, I'd be shaking in my seat. I would hit an altar and I would pour out my heart before God and say, God, that's what's coming. God, please save me that I could avoid that. I come to you tonight, God. I'm not playing games with you anymore in my life. Lord, I'm getting right with you. I want you to save me from my sin. If you're here tonight and you've been lackluster as far as giving your life and surrendering your life to God so that God could use you to touch other lives, could you just taste a little bit through the preaching tonight of the judgment that others are going to face and say, God, you can have my life. And God, if you want to use me to touch other people's lives with the gospel, if that's the way you want to take my life, then God, please take my life that way. You got a lost loved one, you got a lost neighbor, and you've grown a little cold and burdened for them, let your burden be renewed tonight. Because my friend, the worst of the worst is coming. And that is not an exaggeration.
Right.
Truth of the matter is, I don't think I can do justice to describe what it's going to be like in the years of great tribulation. Your heads are bowed.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.